It's no surprise to God because obviously somebody here, maybe me, needed to finish the book of Proverbs at this point. We started months ago with chapter 5 and here we are in 4. So let's pray and see what the Lord has for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have entered your courts with praise, for you are worthy. Thank you that we can remain in your courts, honoring you, listening to your Holy Spirit, seeking to be equipped so that we can make a difference in this world and in our church and in our families. So open our eyes to your word tonight. We pray all this, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. So, you know, I feel like I've been a broken record all of these weeks, repeating the same themes over and over again. You know, I guess we can blame that on Rehoboam, who didn't listen to his dad, Solomon, and so Solomon had to tell him more than once. Maybe we could blame it on the other youth that Solomon was instructing. Maybe we can blame it on ourselves that we need to hear things more than once before we get them. You know, everyone, all believers, need to be reminded of the truths of God's word. And here in Proverbs, you know, the truths of wisdom, the themes that we've seen over and over again, themes about peer pressure, themes about a good work ethic versus laziness, you know, foolishness versus wisdom, family, relationships, the use of our mouth, the things we say, and especially, you know, the fear of the Lord. One thing I discovered going through Proverbs this time is how often the fear of the Lord, having a proper fear of the Lord, and the benefits of having the fear of the Lord make in our lives. So, Proverbs 4, we're going to continue some of those themes, and we're going to continue the warning of do not. And so keep your eyes open for that phrase. For Solomon begins, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I will give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live.'" So here we have the instruction of a father. Kind of interesting, he doesn't say, "Hey, hear my children what your father has to say." This is a father. You know, we can't just say, "Hey, Solomon's not my dad. I can, you know, blow him off." No. I mean, one thing we see here, he was impacted by his father David, and he's passing this on to his children. Yeah. I've now got adult children. Got grandchildren. I'm realizing that that call to pass on God's wisdom didn't end when my last kid turned 18. I get to make an impact in the lives of my grandchildren. And hopefully I've made an impact in my own kids' lives where they can say, "Hey, I learned this from my dad." We all have a legacy, you know, the things that we pass on. We don't get to a point where we can say, "Hey, I've done my job. I'm off the hook. No, we are impacting future generations. Not only our physical families, our church family too. And of course, ultimately, when we're told, hear the instruction of a father, I think of our Father God. The capital F Father. Hear the instruction of our Father. We are all his children. And verse 1 tells us, hey, listen up. We need to hear. He says, I'm going to give you good doctrine. That word doctrine is just, you know, an old word for teaching. I'm going to teach you some important stuff. Got to pay attention. And we get that warning there in verse 2. Do not forsake my law. You know, kids, all of us kids, we need to be warned sometimes. That's why we're told, you know, that all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for correction, for training in righteousness, for reproof. Now we get to just be impacted by the many ways that the Holy Spirit will reveal the scriptures to us. Verse 3, you know, he does remind them, hey, when King David, when I was his son, my mom's only kid, tender and the only one, my dad started teaching me when I was young and said, you know, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. There's that word heart again. I've commented on it a couple of times. We think the Old Testament is all of these, you know, laws and do's and don'ts and outward things. The heart is very important because it's the same God in Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation. And so here's a command to our hearts, that our hearts need to pay attention, that our hearts need to remember, that our hearts need to keep the commands and live. Application right there. What do I keep? What do I retain? What do I remember? I've decided that remember is one of the key words of the Old Testament. Makes it a key word in the New Testament also. We need to remember. We forget too quickly. So verse 5, here's what we get to do. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. So, wisdom is personified. We've seen that. You know, we saw that when we began our study. We saw that in chapter 6, especially. Wisdom personified as this woman. And the call there is, don't forget. Don't forsake her. Don't think, I don't need wisdom. We need wisdom. In fact, you don't just need to need it. You need to love it. And we get to love God's wisdom. But we see it says get that wisdom, get that understanding in verse 5. Getting is not something you do by osmosis. It's an effort. Make an effort to get. The Hebrew translated get here, and many other places in the Bible, it's translated as buy or purchase. You know, wisdom isn't cheap. Wisdom is valuable. So we should be mining for wisdom like treasure in God's word. It tells us in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. And here's this continued call. It's so valuable. Buy it, purchase it, invest in it. You need wisdom. So how do you get wisdom? Maybe that's a legitimate question to ask at this time. How do we get it? Well, right here, chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the instruction of a father. You know, listen to the instruction of others, your spiritual fathers, your heavenly father. In Proverbs 9:10, we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so having that relationship with God, where you are in awe of who God is, where you honor and respect him, where you fear him, that's part of getting wisdom. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved. And you need to, part of getting is spending time in God's word, studying, just digging in. Well, what if you're still struggling? The commentary on the book of Proverbs has the answer. Go to James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask God. Pray. Say, Lord, I need wisdom in this situation. Help me to know what to do. Colossians 1:9. I like this. You know, Paul was asking for wisdom for himself. In Colossians 1:9, we see he prayed for the Colossians that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom. So intercede for others. And I think just how we began the chapter tonight, intercede for your kids. Intercede for your grandchildren. Lord, the apple didn't fall far from the tree, did it? Oh, help my kids. Help my son. Help my granddaughter. So God's word, you know, it doesn't just say get wisdom, it helps us. Shows us, okay, you want to make an effort here? This is how you do it. You pray, you study, you listen. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. Verse 10. Hear my son and receive my saying. Oh, listen. Solomon's got a normal son. He's got to tell him, you know, twice in the same chapter to listen. Hear my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. One of these good principles that we see in Proverbs. Some people will struggle and say, oh, this is a promise. And, you know, if my son listens, he's going to live to be old. Well, good, wise people, yeah, don't die from drunk driving or don't die from venereal disease. But good people are still run over by drunk drivers. Good people still go to the jungles of Peru to share the gospel and are martyred for their faith. But boy, fruitful years. So hear my son. Verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. So one-on-one teaching. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. You know, this is sitting down, having a devotional, reading the Bible with your kids, reading the Bible with others who you are sharing with, who you're discipling with. You know, Solomon didn't just say, hey, Rehoboam, here's a link. Here's a QR code. You scan this QR code, go to this website, it'll answer all your questions for you. No. He said, I've taught you. I didn't, send you to a school that claimed to be a Christian school. I didn't, give you a book. I'm going to sit. I'm going to invest time in you. Who are you investing time in? Now, I'm looking, I'm seeing, you know, believers in various stages of their walk. For a lot of you, you know, yeah, we can always get wisdom, but a lot of you are in the stage of going to somebody and saying, hey, I want to sit down with you. You know, a cup of coffee. Let's talk. Now, let's open up God's word together. Also in verse 11, you know, he's able to say here, I have led you in the right paths. But if he's leading him, he's being an example. So here he's saying, hey, do as I do, not just as I say. I've led you in the right paths. You know, from what we know about Solomon, I mean, eventually he skewed off. We don't have to. We need to decide that we're going to be an example. You know, I want my church to be blessed by my use of my spiritual gifts to impact the body of Christ. I want my city to be blessed. I want, you know, Mexico to be blessed, or South Africa, or the Philippines. But it takes leading. I have led you in the right paths. Now, because of this one-on-one teaching, because of this example, because of this repeated plea, you know, listen, pay attention. In verse 12, he can say, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. You know, if you've got wisdom, you recognize obstacles. You recognize bear traps on the path. You know, we are sojourners. We are travelers on this planet. I think my favorite Larry Norman line in one of his songs was, only visiting this planet. And so we are traveling. We're walking. Now, we've got an example that's shown us the right paths, and we're seeking for wisdom, and we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When we come to a fork in the road as we're walking, as we see an off-ramp, you know, we have a source of wisdom. What do I do about this off-ramp? Fork in the road? There shouldn't be a fork in the road here. Where did it come from? Well, the person leading me, what path did they go on? I don't know. Guess I need to get the road map out. Holy Spirit, show me in the road map where I am, where I'm traveling, where I need to go. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Of course, if God wants to close the door, that's his prerogative. To me, that's not a hindrance. That's a rescue. And so God does, you know, put speed bumps for our safety. It's not a hindrance. It's a rescue. Solomon continues, verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Man, he doesn't just say, yeah, hold on. Keep a firm hold. There's a recognition here, you know, the world is going to try to pull this out of your hands. The world is going to try to make you, you know, leave it on top of your car when you drive off. The world is going to try to distract you. And because the world is going to distract us, we need to hold on firmly and not let go. Yeah. Book of Proverbs. Don't read it once and then say, okay, I'm done with that. And I kind of apologize at the beginning because I felt where I've repeated myself for the months that we've been going through this book. Oh, here's another verse about the poor. Oh, here's another verse about laziness. It's kind of like, Lord, I've told them enough about, you know, family. You know, don't you think they've gotten it by now? Well, we're told to keep firm hold of it. Obviously, there's something that I needed, and you just get to go along for the ride as I, you know, am paying attention to what the Holy Spirit has to say. After the call to take firm hold, after the call to keep her, for she is your life, we get a warning. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. There are times we just need to repeatedly be told, do not. Isn't that true? Do not avoid, turn away, do not. We saw a lot of these warnings in chapter 2. Stay away from the wrong crowds. You know, Timothy was told to flee youthful lust. I mean, Timothy is Paul's assistant. He's, you know, one of his troubleshooters that he can send off for ministry. So he's not a punk kid. And he's warned, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. When I teach the youth, we'll hit this verse sometimes. This one in Proverbs 13:20 about, you know, walking with the wise, for the companion of fools suffers harm. Those junior highers and high schoolers hear it ad nauseum. They need it. They need to know. You can flee, and here the call is to flee. But then Timothy is told, you know, you're not just going to flee and run around like a chicken with your head cut off. Here's some good things to pursue. Instead of just thinking, oh, I got to get away from this, here are positive things. Focus on righteousness, faith, love. With those, you know, yeah, flee these negative, the path of the wicked here, the way of the evil in verse 14. Flee, but you don't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. God's given us our brothers and sisters in Christ for us to pursue the good things with. And so we've got this warning. You know, we've got a lot of positive things. We've got a lot of, yeah, follow my example. But there is the Holy Spirit inspired warning here in 14:15 and continuing, hey, do not. The path of the wicked, you know, yeah, Rehoboam or whoever the kid was, you're sitting there, you kind of, okay, Dad, I've heard enough. Kind of rolling their eyes at Dad while he's talking, thinking about, hey, I'd like to hang out here. And by the Holy Spirit, Solomon goes, don't go there. Don't hang out with them. Avoid that YouTube page. Avoid that TikTok influencer. Flee youthful lust. And he goes on to explain about these people. He says, they don't sleep unless they have done evil, for their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It's almost a repeat of chapter 2, verse 15. The wicked think it is a joke. It's a game to make Christians, and especially Christian teenagers, to fall. There are TikTok influencers who have admitted their purpose is to get Christian teenagers to renounce their faith. They're out there preying on our kids. And, you know, here, they don't sleep unless they've done evil. They feed off of destroying the walks of believers. They think it's a joke. The contrast, then, we get in verse 18. The path of the just is like a shining light, shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of wickedness is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. What a contrast here. We've got these two paths. You know, Jesus talked about the two paths, the narrow way, the narrow road, the broad path. You know, that's not something that was new to Jesus. He inspired it, you know, hundreds of years earlier. So the path of the just versus the path of the wicked. We see shining sun versus darkness. We see perfect day in verse 18 and stumbling in verse 19. Quite a contrast between these two paths. A lot of people think, oh, I'll kind of find the gray area in between. There is no gray area in between. There are two paths here, or two roads. I looked up the song. I wrote it down. I remember hearing this song before I dedicated my life to the Lord. Two Roads by Country Faith, old Maranatha Music, Calvary Chapel group. Two roads from which to choose, the road to glory or the fool's highway. Two roads from which to choose, the rocky one or the Lord's new freeway. Choose before the Savior comes, the road to glory or the rocky one. Please decide before the Lord descends, sweet road to glory or the bitter end. We've got these paths, and God's children, Warren Wiersbe said, can't expect to be led by God if they try to shuffle between these two paths. You can't go back and forth. Choose the path of wisdom. Find a spiritual father who will say, like in verse 11, I have led you in the right paths. Boy. My son, give attention to my words. It's kind of like, hey, you're drifting off, boy. Listen, incline your ears to my saying. What do you incline your ears to? We're going to have a lot of challenges here, a lot of application questions as he wraps up chapter 4. What do you listen to? Music, rumors, politics, talk radio. I guess Audible books could be counted too. What do you use your ears for? What are you listening to? The call here, hey, son, give attention. Listen, use your ears and pay attention to my sayings. Now he moves to the eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Man, what are you looking at, boy? Son, don't let this depart from your eyes. Man, we are people of the book. We need to be using our eyes on God's word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Here the heart is involved again. Son, I don't want you just going through outward motions. I don't want you putting on an act for dad here. This has got to be in the midst of your heart, verse 21. Keep them. We see that challenge again, you know, to keep. Don't just listen to it once. Don't just go through the motion. This needs to be a commitment. You got to keep this. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You know, you listen to the right things, you're looking at the right things, your heart is in the right place, it will be a benefit. You know, those who are suffering from depression, you know, here's something to consider. You know, where's my heart? Those who are suffering from bitterness, where's my heart? You keep these in your heart, and they are life, and they are health. Well, he's got to repeat himself to his boy. Father's got to repeat himself to us. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out it spring the issues of life. You know, some would say this is the key verse of chapter 4. Now, we know our hearts are inclined to sin. Jeremiah 17:9. I think I heard it on a Sunday morning here recently. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart is inclined to sin. So here, it's going to take diligence to keep your heart. You need to be actively keeping it. You need to be praying for help. Don't drop your guard. And the Bible has a lot to say about the heart, right? Wiersbe, again, I mentioned him once. I've got a quote from him. The Bible warns us to avoid a double heart, Psalms 12, a hard heart, Proverbs 28, a proud heart, Hebrews 3, a cold heart, Matthew 24, and an unclean heart, Psalm 51. Man, so we need to keep our heart. We drop our guard. We've got issues of hardness. We got issues of pride. We got issues of just getting cold, getting unclean. Man. And if the heart's deceitful above all things, this is a cry out to God type of moment. This is, Lord, help me here. Help me, because I'm trying to keep my heart, and I'm not sure which heart I'm keeping. Is it the deceitful one? Is it the one that you're washing? Is it the one that's being cleansed by your word? Man, even more reason for prayer, huh? 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So we dealt with the ears, the eyes, the heart. Here we got the mouth. And I've commented many times, I am surprised at how often the lips, the mouth, the tongue, the words that we say and how we say it are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. What do you say? What jokes do you tell? the call here, put perverse lips far from you. Put away from you the deceitful mouth, the lying mouth. Man, time to go to the Lord and fall on our knees again, huh? 25, he comes back to the eyes. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Again, what do you watch? What do you read? Our eyes are a gateway into our souls. What type of things are you looking at? Let your eyes look, but let them look straight ahead. So wrapping up, in 26 he says, ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Finishes up with this warning, do not turn to the right or left. Don't get sidetracked. You know, I'll quote Gold 5 from Star Wars, stay on target. Stay on the path. So it says to ponder the path of your feet. 2 Corinthians tells us examine ourselves. Think about what path you're on. This is the final application question as we wrap up the book. Where are you traveling? What path are you on? Are you thinking about what path you're on? Are you pondering where you're going? And finally, got a book here about wisdom. We've spent, I'm not sure how many weeks in it. In what ways can wisdom guide you and protect you on the path? Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for your word. We read stuff like this and realize that we need a work of your Holy Spirit. That our hearts would know which one of these verses applied to us tonight. This is the one about our eyes, about our mouth, about our heart. Is it a reminder to stay away from the wicked? Is it a reminder to be a good father? Lord, thank you that we can ask for wisdom because we sure lack it. So we come to you. We ask that you would continue to teach us, that you would continue to give us wisdom. We may have completed this go-around at the book of Proverbs, but your Holy Spirit's not done with us yet. In Jesus' name we pray, the name above all names. Amen. So, you know, we got some time to pray. To get together and pray. I will give an update, Sarah. Sandra and I stopped by and saw Ted on the way here tonight. It's a miracle. It is an answer to prayer. How much he's progressed. And so they told him after doing stuff today that he can go home tomorrow. So, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And so, since we have seen that God answers prayer, We should break up into groups of four or five and do some praying. We've got Celeste. I didn't hear how the surgery went, but she had surgery today. She was supposed to go home around 6 o'clock. Anybody have an update? She's home? All right. Allison went to the ER again. I understand this morning something was passed on, or was that an old prayer request? Yeah. So, and in the midst of all of these people ailing, I'd like to ask for prayer for our missionaries in Mexico. They're training church planters this summer in Latin America. And for the first time, they've had a couple come from Chile and Brazil and are attending the training that they have